This is the Morning Magazine for August 1st of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for starting off your week with us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, the Regional Transportation District, or RTD, is making public transit free for the entire month, starting today. We'll look at the legacy of an Aspen-based Hollywood heavyweight who died recently. And CityCast Denver goes to the dogs, or with the dogs, off-leash in search of the city's dog parks. At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear the BBC News headlines and then the Hightower Lowdown. After that is a public affair. Host Frank Dubofsky talks with State Representative Judy Amabile about her work to improve mental health services in Colorado. Then at 9 a.m., we'll bring you Counterspin, a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. After that, Doug Gertner will be in the Denver studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead this morning, but first, these headlines with KGNU's Chiara De Mare.
Denver has opened a new application window for instant rebates on e-bikes and e-cargo bikes. The program has proven to be so popular in the past that demand for the rebates has exceeded supply. Denver's climate office is able to open new application windows when previously approved rebates go unredeemed after 90 days. In addition to the e-bikes rebate program, Denver residents are eligible to check out e-bikes at several neighborhood e-bike libraries. State Representative Edie Hooten withdrew from the race for House District 10 for the November elections. She has been the Boulder representative for the past 6 years and is eligible for one more term of 2 years, but announced that she is opting out. In a letter to the public, Hooten announced that she wants to spend more time with her family and husband and to have more time for personal hobbies. In her letter, she wrote, "I've been honored to play a role in codifying reproductive health care rights in state law, passing a red flag law in local control of firearms, improved monitoring and enforcement of air toxins and greenhouse gas emissions, and funding universal pre-K school." She shared her confidence in Boulder to find a solid replacement. She will finish out her term, which ends when the new reps are sworn in for the 2023 session. HDTV has announced that Fort Morgan is going to be the focus of a new season of their popular renovation show, Hometown Takeover. The show, which is in its third season, brought in about 24 million viewers when it revitalized the downtown and homes of Wetumpka, Alabama. HDTV made their Fort Morgan plans official Tuesday with a surprise visit to a town rally in the 200 block of Main Street. A cookout, fire, and police vehicles and loads of residents met up at the event during lunchtime, according to the Fort Morgan Times. The 6-episode series is set to premiere in early 2023, and a release from the HDTV reads, "The aim is to mobilize and inspire more HDTV expert stars and residents to tackle renovation projects across homes, local businesses, and community spaces, amplifying the town's charm and building community pride." A car crash kills a Broomfield High School student. Luis Lacone from KGNU has more.
Last week, a car crash involving 5 Broomfield High School students occurred on the intersection of US 287 and Dillon Road. They collided into a semi-truck while going south on Highway 287, according to the Lafayette Police Department. All 5 individuals were taken to the hospital where one of the occupants died who attended Broomfield High School. The police have not yet released the identities of the students. They're looking into alcohol and distracted driving as possible reasons for the crash, according to the Daily Camera. Broomfield High School Principal Ginger Ramsey released a statement on Friday giving her condolences and support to the family of the student who died. "It is with heartfelt sadness that I share the news of a tragic car crash that happened last night involving 5 Broomfield High School students," Ramsey said in a statement. The Broomfield Valley School District trauma team has been activated and counselors will be available to students and family members. For KGNU, I am Luis Licon.
Today is National Colorado Day. And to celebrate, all admission into Colorado State Parks is free. From state forests to the various lakes, getting outside to some breathtaking locations will cost you nothing today. A full list of the state parks is available at cpw.state.co.us. Admission is also free to all state-run history museums. That includes Center for Colorado Women's History Museum in Denver and the Healy House Museum and Dexter Cabin in Leadville. More information is available at historycolorado.org. History Colorado has named Dr. Jared Orsi as Colorado's next state historian. KGNU's Lily Noble has more.
Bringing to the position 20 years of experience, the State Historians Council believes that Dr. Orsi's scholarship is rooted in a commitment to illuminating the histories of all who have called Colorado home, as well as compelling hope that our shared history can light the way to a brighter future. Dr. Orsi, a professor of history at Colorado State University, says he intends to spotlight the history of public lands and indigenous peoples. History shows how choices made by people of the past built the world we inhabit, said Dr. Orsi. I would like history covered in a way that empowers people to think about the future they would like and to go out and make it happen. Every year since 1924, History Colorado has appointed a new state historian who takes office on August 1st in honor of Colorado's birthday. Dr. Orsi is succeeding Dr. Nikki Gonzalez. For KGNU, I'm Lily Noble.
Today is supposed to be warm and sunny across the Front Range. In Fort Collins, there's a high of 95 and a low of 56. In Denver, a high of 96 and a low of 65. And in Boulder, there's a high of 92 and a low of 61. For KGNU, I'm Kiara DeMari.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm Shannon Young. Starting today, the Regional Transportation District, RTD, will launch a Zero Fare for Better Air initiative to provide free fares for all RTD rail and bus services through the month of August. RTD leaders hope the campaign will help to cut air pollution during the year's hottest month and encourage commuters to take public transportation instead of driving. For more on the program and RTD's plans to restore routes that were suspended at the start of the pandemic, KGNU's Luis Licon chatted with RTD spokesperson Marta Sepecki.
Can you explain to me what is the Zero Fare for Better Air initiative, and are there any limits for free fares during August, and how did this program start?
So Zero Fare for Better Air is a grant program that was created by the Colorado Senate Bill 22180 in partnership with the Colorado Energy Office. So the Energy Office is providing a grant to RTD of nearly $8.7 million, and RTD is providing an additional $2.1 million to be able to provide Zero Fare service during the month of August.
Is this just a pilot program, or is this beginning to start off something that might be frequent during the next couple of years? Would this come back next year?
Well, we are going to be analyzing how the program works, providing Zero Fare. And I do want to mention that starting today and through the rest of the month, customers can ride all of our RTD services with no fares. And that includes bus, light rail, commuter rail, flex ride, and our AccessoRide paratransit service. And so after the end of the month of August, we will be analyzing how well this service worked, how well the initiative worked, and then we can look at it for next year.
And how are you determining the success? Is it by ridership, like statistically, like seeing if there's a large amount of ridership during the month of August, or are you seeing this more as are you measuring this by like the least air pollution in the Front Range? How are you measuring the success of this program?
So ridership, of course, is going to be one measure, but there are a lot of other measures that we're going to take into account. We will be conducting a customer survey after the Zero Fare for Better Air August to find out how our customers enjoyed the program, how they liked the program. We will also be doing an internal survey, too, to see what effects it had on our employees and frontline staff. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a transit agency, so we really can't measure how much air pollution or ozone will lessen as a result of Zero Fare for Better Air. So we do hope that people will establish a new travel habit and be able to continue using RTD services after August. So it's been said that it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. Mm-hmm. So during the month of August, we are giving customers 31 days to hop on the system to form a new travel habit. And as I said, we hope that they continue to use RTD services after August.
And also, with trying to get more people to use public transit around the metro area, I know RTD also recently announced that they will bring back some couple of dormant lines servicing Boulder or in some areas of the Front Range as well. Do you know what lines will be coming back? And is there a timeline to see if those lines will be resuming operation soon?
Well, just like other industries, RTD is having people power shortages. Mm-hmm. And so it will depend on the ability that we have to hire more operators in order to bring back more service. Now, some of the routes that we are looking at in Boulder would be the FF4, if Boulder Junction opens, and FF4 goes from Boulder Junction Station to the Civic Center Station in downtown Denver. Well, the FF2 is also high on our list, and that is the express service from downtown Boulder Station to Union Station. And then later on, as resources allow, the AB2, which goes from Boulder to Denver International Airport, is also a route that we're looking at bringing back. As I mentioned, though, we still need to have more resources, and those resources include having the operators to be able to provide that service.
Is there something that RTD is trying to work on to try to get more operators back to work in RTD? What kind of things is RTD doing to bring back more workers into the force?
We are constantly recruiting. We're going out to various venues to just let people know that we are hiring. We have a $4,000 signing bonus for a number of different frontline positions, and all that can be found on our website at rtd-denver.com. But we are actively recruiting people to work for RTD. RTD has great benefits. It has very competitive pay. And as I mentioned, we have the $4,000 signing bonus.
Speaking of the Boulder Junction bus depot, I know some of the plans earlier in the year about the B line extending up to Boulder. Is that anything in the near future, or will that stay put for another time?
So RTD currently is conducting a study for the Northwest Rail peak service. Mm-hmm. And RTD is working collaboratively with all the municipalities from Westminster all the way up to Longmont to look at the possibility and the feasibility of providing peak service for the Northwest Rail.
My guest today has been Marta Sapecki, the Interim Assistant General Manager of Communications. Thank you very much for your time. And for KGNU, I am Luis Licon.
This is the end of the line. All passengers must now leave the train with all your personnel.
A Hollywood legend with deep Colorado roots died recently. Bob Rafelson had lived in Aspen for nearly 60 years. While he mostly stayed out of the spotlight when at home in Colorado, his legacy as a pioneer of the new Hollywood movement, directing and producing some of the first films that offered social commentary in America, has demanded significant attention nationwide. For Aspen Public Radio and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Hallie Zander brings us this report.
Look, 10 movies over, I'm going to be 87. That's enough.
In a conversation with Bob Broaddus at the Wheeler Opera House in 2019, Bob Rafelson, the longtime director and producer, reflected on his career in the film industry.
It's a lot of hard, egotistical work. You become so obsessed that nothing else in the world counts.
Rafelson is best known as a boundary-breaking filmmaker who helped kickstart Jack Nicholson's acting career. The two worked together on the set of the film Easy Rider in 1969, which Rafelson produced and Jack Nicholson starred in with Peter Fonda.
Boy, I sure wish I was going with you.
Yeah?
You got a helmet? Oh, I've got a helmet.
That was years after Rafelson began calling Aspen his home. He first visited the city in 1963 when he scammed his way into a conference at the Aspen Institute. And according to Andrew Travers, the former arts and culture editor at the Aspen Times, this is where Rafelson first met his close friend, Hunter S. Thompson.
the story he told was that, you know, around that time, he found himself in a volleyball game with Hunter Thompson, the, you know, the great gonzo journalist who would go on to become the author of Funeral Living in Las Vegas and, you know, the Freak Power campaign here. And, you know, those were all relationships that lasted for the rest of their lives.
In an article Travers wrote in 2019, he said Rafelson continued to rent places in Aspen while he worked in Los Angeles and traveled the world. While looking back on their conversation, Travers remembers Rafelson's love of Aspen and its wilderness.
The Castle Creek Valley was one of the great loves of his life. You know, he had been there for decades, had showed up at, you know, county commissioner meetings and that kind of thing anytime, you know, there was any kind of a development there as recently as, I don't know, just a few years ago.
After he finished production on Easy Rider, Rafelson continued to work with Nicholson on six other movies, including Five Easy Pieces, where he directed this iconic diner scene.
No substitution.
What do you mean? You don't have any tomatoes?
Only what's on the menu. You can have a number two, a plain omelet that comes with cottage fries and rolls.
Yeah, I know what it comes with, but it's not what I want.
Well, I'll come back when you make up your mind.
Wait a minute. I have made up my mind.
During this time, Rafelson also co-created The Monkees, a sitcom based on a pop rock band that ran for 2 years in the late 60s. The show won two Emmy Awards and incorporated a variety of new wave film techniques. And the song that opened each episode referenced the era's rebellious youth. But while these projects earned Rafelson his place in film history, his lesser-known project, Mountains of the Moon, was closer to his heart. And when Aspen Film gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award back in 2019, Rafelson wanted to screen the film over his more popular titles. It exemplified his itch to travel and explore new cultures.
I'll tell you, I would travel alone many times. Sometimes I go to the airport not knowing where I'm going, with a satchel on my back, look up and say, oh, hey, I've never been there, and just fly with no preparation, not knowing, and stay for 7 months. That would be Turkey.
Susan Rubel is the executive and artistic director of Aspen Film. She says Rafelson referred to Mountains of the Moon as his best film, but also his most personal.
And Bob traveled to, you know, the far reaches of the planet, and this film was very indicative of that. And just felt that this was truly the film that he wanted to make and he wanted people to recognize him for.
Rubel adds that Rafelson's legacy in film will extend far beyond the projects he created.
I think the style of filmmaking that he brought forth in the 70s, which was a lot more realistic, not so formulaic, and also just launching careers of some of the greatest actors of our time.
For people around the world, Rafelson will be remembered for his groundbreaking work as a filmmaker. And for his neighbors and friends in Aspen, he will remain something of a hidden treasure. Hallie Zander, Aspen Public Radio News.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales. And for someone else, but not for me.
That story came to us through Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KGNU. Say Denver loves dogs, but what about off-leash dogs? More and more unofficial dog parties are popping up across the city, meaning lots of canines are running wild in the parks, and CityCast Denver listeners apparently have a lot to say about it. CityCast Denver host Bree Davies and newsletter editor Peyton Garcia and producer Aaron O'Toole read the comments sparked by the podcast's recent newsletter and talk it out.
So we're talking dogs and dog parks and off-leash dog situations in Denver today. We're talking about this because Westward had written a story recently about this off-leash unofficial dog parties that are happening in parks. Peyton, explain more what's going on here.
Yeah, so the piece talks about how there are
these unofficial, quote unquote, dog parties that are happening at local parks. And what that means is like-minded dog owners are getting together at these big grassy, treed, shaded parks and letting their dogs run loose off leash so that they can play together. And it sounds like there's anywhere from like 15 to 20 dogs running around at a time. And the problem is the city is now cracking down on that because that's technically not legal. The city has leash laws, and you can only have your dog off leash in sanctioned off leash parks that are created by the city. And there's a handful of them dotted around Denver. But the reason people aren't going to them is because people are saying they're few and far between, that they're not that great, that they're just these like fenced in gravel areas, and that they would rather go to these parks that are, you know, that have grass and trees and let their dogs run around with other animals. So anyways, the park rangers are cracking down on that, and they're hanging around these parks and dispersing these off-leash dog parties. And they give a number of reasons for why this shouldn't be allowed and why these leash laws are in place. And we can kind of dig into that, but, you know, a lot of it has to do with maintenance of the park, picking up after your dog, and not everyone likes dogs. And so I think the city's biggest argument is that city parks should be accessible for everybody. Anyone should feel like they can go there and hang out with their family and have a picnic. And if you're someone who's afraid of dogs, or if you have a dog that's not well behaved, that takes away that park for a lot of people. So anyways, they're cracking down on that. Sounds like they're not trying to issue tickets, but they are trying to educate people and disperse these parties, and they're just becoming a lot more strict on it. But not everyone feels like that's fair. There's a lot of dog owners out there who don't think that that's a fair option. Pei, you shared the Westward story in the newsletter, and you got a ton of responses from folks. Like, people feel very strongly about dogs in the city. Can you share some thoughts from readers who were super against this idea of off-leash dogs?
Yeah, I can. So reader Hannah W. wrote in and she said, "Listen, I love dogs as much as the next person, but the thing that we're forgetting is that these are sometimes massive apex predators we're coexisting with. I want to be able to trust that folks can train their dogs, but I know too many people who keep heelers and huskies in apartments to trust easily. I think the answer is more sanctioned off-leash areas. There's clearly a demand, and any good dog owner wants to give their dog space to play. That said, if you can't give a dog what it needs with resources you have, you shouldn't own a dog. They're living creatures, not toys." I feel like that's loaded with a lot of stuff. And I would just say that I think a big thing that I'm seeing from people who are writing in and who are they're anti this off-leash dog parties is maybe your dog is trained really well but you don't know other people and how they train their dogs. And I think that that's a really common thread, is people are saying, you know, I know my dog, but I don't know yours. And that puts a lot of stress on me and my dog and the experience that we're having.
But Pei, you also heard from folks who are very pro this idea of the dog party and are super okay with the off-leash situation. What did readers share with you?
Yeah, so Lucas D. wrote in and said, "I have three dog parks somewhat near me in East Denver, all I have to drive to. Alternatively, I have three parks and a fenced-in school I can walk my dog to. Those dog parks have zero trees, so they're not an option for me in the summer unless it's really early or late to avoid my dog getting too hot, whereas the park offers shade. What I'm getting at here is if the city does not want people to use parks as dog parks, they should invest in more dog parks that are actually usable on hot days." And we saw a lot of this. Everyone says, if the city doesn't want me taking my unleashed dog to city parks, then they should be in charge of investing more in better dog parks that are more accessible.
Also, I'm an advocate for. I mean, we can always use more parks in the city.
Absolutely.
Erin and Peyton, thanks for joining me for this conversation.
It was a great discussion. Thanks.
Yeah.
And thanks to our readers and listeners who shared their thoughtful ideas on how we could deal with the dog park situation right now.
You just heard an excerpt from CityCast Denver, the local Denver daily news podcast. Learn more about subscribing to the podcast at denver.citycast.fm or wherever you get your podcasts.
that's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Chiara De Mare, Alexis Kenyon, Luis Licon, Lily Noble, Christian Garibay, and the CityCast Denver crew for their contributions to today's program. If you'd like to comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can leave us a voicemail at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesdays during the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for a commentary from Jim Hightower, and then it's A Public Affair with Frank Dubofsky. That's just after these news headlines from the BBC.